Welcome to A Bit of Boo with Stacey and Rue, a peculiar podcast where we discuss all things paranormal, kooky, and unexplained. I'm Stacey Rourke.
And I'm Rue Volley.
I'm good.
I'm a little stressed.
I'm leaving for a PolyCon. Right now. Ooh. I am. By the time this airs, I will have already gone and come back. But I'm leaving for a PolyCon the day after tomorrow. And listen, I know I host a book event, but for some reason, going to one is really hitting different right now. I just am like panicking. If I have everything done, do I have everything I need? Am I going to be ready? Like,
You're going to totally kick ass.
This should be old hat
know
to
you're
me.
Kick ass. Oh, man. Yeah, you should. I mean, you've been running a huge book signing event for years.
Yeah, you'd think.
Like, what is it? Like a decade?
Yeah, it's closing in. It's closing in on a decade. Well, see, that's the thing. I'm a Virgo, and when you give me complete control, I'm fine. If I don't have complete control over everything, I get all jumpy.
Are you flying?
No, we're driving. I'm driving up.
Oh.
Yeah, driving up with my kids Wednesday morning, because it was going to cost too much to ship all those books, and it was just too much. So we're going to drive up, and then my husband's flying in on Friday, so that the girls won't be going to the event with me. They'll be sightseeing with their dad. So
Well, where is the PolyCon?
It's in Washington, D.C.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I've never been before.
Oh, you haven't been there or to the book event?
I've never been to Washington, D.C. This is...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'll be doing some of the touristy stuff. I'm excited about that. Go see some monuments and some cool museums.
I don't blame you. I mean, do you remember when Leslie Knope went to Washington and did her thing?
Yes.
Oh, I love that so
and
much.
And she met Joe Biden. You protect him. He's precious cargo.
He's precious cargo. Or when she met Michelle Obama.
Yes.
And I thought she was going to pass
out.
That
was so funny.
She, like, didn't know what to do with her hands. Yeah. So great. And then she bangs her head, like, after that. I love that. I love how they incorporated all of that stuff into it. And I was glad they went to Washington, because I have not been there either.
You haven't been there either?
No. No, I haven't. Probably good. I'd be mad. I'd have a sign
everywhere
somewhere.
You go.
Like, what are you assholes doing? I'd have to call you. Be like, hey, do you have bail money? You'd be like, where are you at, Washington?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's legit.
I knew this day would come.
Right? It's going to happen.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
Oh, goodness.
I'm excited for you, though. That's going to be a fun trip.
I'm excited. Yeah, I think you know from the author community, Elizabeth Kirk.
Yes.
She used to work at Mount Vernon in Washington, D.C., and she would role play for some of the tour groups as Martha Washington. And
my dumb ass almost said, oh, the one with all the faces? Go ahead.
No, not that one. So she agreed to meet my kids and I at Mount Vernon on Thursday, and she's going to give us like an official tour of George Washington's home and farm.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That'll be super fun.
Yeah, she'll know all the
dirt.
And
you got the hookup.
I know. She knows all the dirt.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, she's going to be telling you like all the stuff that wasn't allowed to say on
the
tour. So I'm going to need all that tea.
That's the tour that's I want. Give me all the details.
I always want that tour. Yeah. I'm like, hey. Like, what kind of bullshit would they do here?
She's told me some of it. She's told me a few things already that I'm like, okay, Washington was kind of a dick in certain situations. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, what politician isn't?
And that time frame was, it was a different time. It was a different time.
Yeah. Is that how we're going to say this?
It was a different time. Like,
it was just a different time, you know, owning people and shit.
Exactly.
It's just different.
It was a different time. You could do things like that are really frowned upon now. With that would
it was just regular shit.
You would be considered a monstrous human being if you did these things now, for good reason.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so hard for me. This is why I'm not in Washington. Like, there's no way I could walk around there and not be yelling at everybody and everything.
People that aren't even politicians. It's like some Chad and Steak and Shake, and you're screaming at him.
Yeah. It'd be awful. It'd be totally awful. I'm telling you, you would need bail money.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Just save up. If I ever say, hey, I'm going to be going to Washington, just get some money together, because shit is going to go down.
Ruse, GoFundMe bail money.
Yes. Oh my god. You know, I'm not really doing book signings this year, and it's really weird for me not to be back out with people. So I'm going to live vicariously through you.
Okay, that works.
So I expect pictures and text.
I will send you the behind the scenes text messages, the things that I will not say to other human beings around me. I will send them to you. Good. So you will get all the juicy dirt.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's our relationship, right? I mean, that's not...
You're going to get text messages that are going to be like,
what we do.
I have a line of people at my table and my underwear are so far up the crack of my ass right now, I'm tasting cotton. Those are the messages.
Oh.
Those are the messages you're going to get.
Yeah. Boy, I bet you have some boxes of books, huh?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I have about 100 copies of my books. Like, I have about 100 books on hand right now, and that's not Ken.
How's it feel? Like, do you want to lay them down and just kind of lay in them for a second and just, like, look at what I've accomplished?
Swim in it. Not all of them. Octavia's book is this big. I try to do a backstroke in that, and I'm going to get hurt.
Oh, Octavia. What a wonderful, wonderful girl.
I love her.
A dead pig.
Yep. She's awesome. I love her.
I love her so much.
So that's me. What's going on with you, man?
Oh, my God. What isn't going on with me? Shit. I'm in menopause.
I noticed you dabbing at your lip. Is that going to go?
Oh, my God. Yeah. The new thing right now is, for some reason, my nipples hurt.
Oh, great.
I didn't even know that was on the list. There's like, they're like 111 like symptoms that you can get when you're in menopause. I didn't know that aching nipples was one of them.
Oh.
Yeah, super fun.
A strong breeze and you're like, no.
Yeah, well, it's not really the breeze thing. It's like, I go to work at my day job where I'm writing the whole day, which is fantastic because I love to write. And I sit at a desk. I have my own desk. It's so weird. I'm like adulting, like at level 11 here. But yeah, I have my bra on, obviously, because they haven't said that was cool for me to go without it yet.
Yet.
And I come home, I take my bra off, and it's like, instead of it being that awesome whoosh release, like, oh my God, my bra is off, it's like my nipples go,
ah! Oh.
like
it's too much freedom for them.
Yeah, it's like they feel like they're raw. It's like, I don't know how else to say it. I know it's a little TMI, but I'm just gonna tell you, ladies, like, just go ahead and figure this shit out before you lose control of your body. Because it is awful. I just found out there are 4 stages of menopause, and I guess I'm in the 4th one. So, you know, I'm a veteran at this point with menopause.
So like, what happens after the 4th one? The 4th one, you just, like, come out on the other side?
I mean, you're supposed to come out on the other side feeling better than you've ever felt before. But then I've talked to women that are, like, 20 years into it, like, yeah, man. I'm still having night sweats, and I'm watching. I'm like, 20 years. Like, there's no fucking way I'm gonna do this for 20 years.
So that's the part no one tells you, is that sure, you might feel great after stage four, but you never come out of stage four ever. Like, this is the new norm.
Yeah. Well, it's Groundhog Day for my vagina. So super cool. Super cool. So I haven't seen your face for a moment. I love it. I know you guys can't see us, but I'm looking at Stacey, and she looks amazing as usual. I look like shit. I'm sitting in my pajamas. My buttons are screaming. They can barely contain what I have.
Well, just be glad that this isn't smell-o-vision, because these are my workout clothes. I have not changed, and I have not showered since my workout. So I'm ripe. I'm ripe. I do not smell good.
So right now you're tasty, Stacey.
I'm spicy.
You're spicy. You're like five pepper spice.
That's making awesome. Your eyes water. Yeah, that's me.
I wish I remembered what spice was. So that's what happens. Everything gets stolen.
You're not selling this well.
I know, right? It's worse.
All right.
I'm like, yes.
So what are we talking about today? Let's talk about some paranormal shit.
Yeah, let's do some shit. I wanted to talk about the true story of The Conjuring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen those movies?
I haven't yet. I've been trying to find somewhere I can watch them. And I think my only option at this point is I'm going to have to rent them or buy them, because I can't find them on any streaming network.
Well, if you go on Vudu, you can actually get they have a bundle of all of the Conjuring movies together. And you can just buy them, like, in a one-shot.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I just saw it, so...
Because it was on, like Netflix or something for a while, wasn't it?
It was, and then they pulled it off of there. I'm so sick of these streaming services doing that shit.
I know.
Like, they'll have something, and they'll just do one, like, season one. And then it's like, oh, sorry, bitch, we were just joking. And then season two... on a completely different streaming circuit, service.
I hate that. What is going on? I hate that.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's the worst setup ever. I feel like they're, like, scamming me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all kind of in on it together.
Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to do the true story of The Conjuring today.
Awesome.
And what I wanted to talk about first is when The Conjuring was released in 2013, it was met with critical acclaim. Critics everywhere praised it for its all too realistic portrayal of the demonic haunting of an innocent family in Rhode Island. I know you don't know anything about this, but you'll know more once you buy the bundle and you watch all the movies.
Okay.
But most viewers assumed that the movie was nothing but the wild imaginings of the director James Wan.
Yeah.
Which I would have thought too, because most of the time when you see these horror movies, it's just made up bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, but The Conjuring is actually really interesting because it's not only like real paranormal things that happen, but there's a couple behind this, which I'm going to get into because I always found them extremely interesting. But as I dug into them a little bit deeper, I was like, what the hell is wrong with you guys? So that's
where did your life go that you went there? Yeah.
Right. That's what I was thinking. The true story of The Conjuring is actually rooted in a horrifying true experience, the experiences of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of them?
I think I have.
Kind of in passing.
Yes.
There was a time when they were like at the top of their game, like in the paranormal world, there was nobody bigger than those two.
Okay.
And it kind of shows like how they kind of slipped into obscurity. Yeah, so Ed Warren was a World War II veteran and a former police officer who became a self-professed demonologist after studying the subject on his own.
He made up his own job. I love that.
He did. He made up his own job, man. He was like, that was his side hustle. So His wife, Lorraine, claimed to be a clairvoyant and a medium who was capable of communicating with the demons that Ed discovered. That's kind of convenient, don't you think?
It really is.
It's like Ed discovers them, and then she's like, hey, buddy, what's up? They were like,
couldn't she tag team these demons? Couldn't she, if she was clairvoyant and a medium, she couldn't be like, hey, babe, there's one over there. Like, she didn't, I don't know.
I don't know. There must have been, like, you know, she could only, I don't understand that. Like, if you're going to tell me that you're a clairvoyant and a medium, then you should know everything that's going on, right?
Yeah.
Like, you should know before I know. You know? Oh yeah, my God.
That reminds me. Yes. I saw a thing the other day that said, fortune teller, it was just a sign, you know, on the side of the road, and it was like, fortune teller, get your fortune read now, and there was like a number beneath it, and my dumb ass, the first thought I had was like, you already know I'm not gonna call.
Oh my God, it's like, you already know, but you know, you're a clairvoyant, like, you know,
I'm not, you know, calling.
Now that you're, no, there's no fucking way. I wouldn't call that either. But I will tell you something funny. My partner and I like to go and shop out of state. And as we're driving there, every year, there's this thick forest that looks super creepy. And there's one little sign sitting by the side of the road that says eggs. Pointing toward that forest.
Nope.
And every year I say, this is the year. We're going in. Like, we're going to find out. What the fuck is back there? But yeah, so I'm like,
what kind of
just
eggs?
Pointing toward this, yeah. I'm like, why are you putting? Yeah, like, and I keep wondering, like, why I'm not seeing anything on the news, because somebody is driving back there for eggs, and yeah, they're never seen again. Like, that's, it's like happening.
That's like a free candy sign. Free candy inside, right? This creepy white
man.
Like,
no. Well, it wouldn't be candy for me. It would be puppies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And books. Mm-hmm. Puppies, yeah, and books. I'd be like dead. Yeah.
I'd be willingly climbing in. Like, here
I'd
we go.
I'd be crawling into it. I'm like, it's all right. We're doing this. Where's the puppies and the books? It's so bad. Yeah. So back to Ed and Lorraine.
Okay.
I love talking to you.
Shut up. We got work to do.
We're going to talk about everything else. In 1952, Ed and Lorraine founded the New England Society of Psychic Research, which is the oldest ghost hunting.
Ghost.
I don't even know where that came from. It's the oldest ghost hunting group in New England. They quickly gained notoriety as respected paranormal investigators after their initial investigations of the Amityville.
Oh, hunting. Yes.
Yeah, so you remember that crazy-ass picture of that little kid upstairs?
Yes.
Like, in Amityville? Mm-hmm. Guess who did that?
That was them?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the other weird thing I found out about them is that they were early pioneers in the 70s for the Satanic Panic era.
Okay. Like stopping the Satanic Panic or, like, encouraging it?
Encouraging.
Oh, shit.
Like, they were a part of it. Like, you know, they got deeply involved with it. And maybe not so much encouraging it as just helping all of the, well, I guess it is encouraging. I mean, because they were making it bigger, like, with their investigations and stuff.
Okay.
So there's, you know, the thing about them is that they really, this was really a hustle for them.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying that it wasn't real, because obviously they have a rich, deep history with it, but it just seems like they latched onto it because not only did they go and do these investigations, but they also did a speaking,
okay,
like, tours, they went to engagements, they wrote books.
They cashed in on it.
I mean, there was just so much. Yeah, they totally cashed in on it. And some people think they were completely full of shit. Like, I've read a lot of articles where people were like, listen, this is totally bogus, you know? And when you think about the mental aspect of it sometimes with people, like, if you are going into a place where somebody is struggling mentally,
yeah,
it's very easy to heighten that paranoia.
Yes.
And open that box, you know, like if you are like, oh my god, yeah, like I'm experiencing this with you too.
Yes.
They're gonna make it like 1,000 times worse than it was before. So there's a lot of things you could say about it, but I mean, honestly, there's so many people that saw these things that I have to believe that there was weird shit going on in these homes, especially Amityville. I mean, we've all seen the movies on that. It was fucking horrendous, you know, and they all say this is, you know, like it was a demonic. And I believe in hauntings. I believe in spirits. I believe, you know, demonic possessions can happen. I just with Ed and Lorraine, it was a little gray, gray areas here and there with them.
You're not talking about like Sam and Dean Winchester, who are just driving into town to help and then driving out. These are two people that were cashing in. They were writing the books. They were doing the speeches. So it's not just about helping people. Them, like you said, it's they're there for the payday at that point.
It just I mean, it was definitely a hustle in some ways. And I can't say how much of it was real and how much of it wasn't. You know, I mean, they could have totally 100% believed everything that they were saying, and they most definitely could have been walking into places that had a lot of shit going on.
Yeah,
but you know, they did this for a long time.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, their two most famous cases, however, were heavily popularized by the Conjuring franchise. Okay, so there's a whole host of movies that came out like based on what they said happen, like their case studies. The series of movies, they actually focus on Ed and Lorraine's experiences of exorcising demons from possessed families.
Okay.
So the franchise itself was actually based on two particular families. Like, both of them are just sad stories. I mean, it, you know, like, I can't imagine living in a house I didn't feel safe in.
Yeah.
You know, waking up in the middle of the night, freaking out, hearing shit, like scratches, bites, like shit moving around the house. Like, I can't imagine And yeah, you know, and it's different for people that actually have money. But if you are poverty stricken, you can't just, you know, because I hear that sometimes, like, well, if the house was so bad and all this shit was going on, then why didn't you leave? And it's like, you can't fault people who are cash poor.
Yes.
And say, you know, it's just like living in a state. You're in a state. You don't like the shit that's going on in the state. You can't just look at everybody and say, well, then leave, you know, because some of these people, they cannot leave. They're living paycheck to paycheck. So I kind of feel like in some of these instances, you were dealing with people that either A, could not leave because they were cash poor, or B, they're like, this is our opportunity to cash the fuck in on something, you know, like, and make some money. So it's really, it's gray, you know, like, it's hard to say, but the movies seem over the top. They were over dramatized and impossible to believe, but the Warrens maintain that all of the events depicted actually transpired. So when you watch The Conjuring, just keep in mind that even though Ed wasn't there for the majority of it, because he died way before Lorraine did.
Okay.
And I, you know, we'll get into all of that about their relationship and their ages and stuff, like when they passed on. But Lorraine was actually a huge part of the Conjuring series. And she, you know, they talked to her about it. Like, she approved things and said, yes, this is how it happened. Or no, this is too much. Like, she was like right in there with it. Okay. So I thought that was cool because normally, you know, people just take it, they take bits and pieces and then they just toss it together and make it really, you know, like over the top. And these are supposed to be like pretty much spot on of what Ed and Lorraine said happened.
Wow.
Like, when they went into those houses.
That makes it even creepier, I think.
I know. And I feel that way too, because if I watch something and it's like based on a true story, I'm like, oh shit. Like,
yes.
I feel like more embedded and maybe I connect to it.
Yes. Better. I'm immediately on Google then. And I'm like, tell me everything. I want to know.
Yeah. I'm like, I dig into it. I'm like, what the hell is going on with this? But yeah. So Ed died in 2006.
Okay.
Okay. And Lorraine was a consultant on the films and claims that she didn't let the directors take any more dramatic license than was necessary. Nevertheless, the true story of The Conjuring remains almost unbelievably chilling to this day. And I'm going to tell you something. Like, I've seen all those movies because my husband is a huge horror fanatic. He loves all of that shit. And they scared the fuck out of me.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah, it scared the fuck out of me. And I was like, holy shit. He did the same thing this past weekend because we watched the remake of The Evil Dead, which is actually 10 years old. Like, I didn't even realize that it was 10 years old already. That scared the shit out of me watching that this weekend. So then
I could just see you, like, turning on your husband. God. Seriously?
Yeah, well, he knows when I'm starting to get disturbed by it because I pick up my phone.
Yeah, yep, yep.
And I'm doing it. I'm like scrolling through my phone, like looking at shit. And I'm like,
being anywhere
no,
but there.
No. Yeah. Well, the thing with that one, I appreciated the movie, but it was just so over the top grotesque.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things. And there was animal
violence
in it.
No,
yeah.
No,
and
no.
I have a real problem like with seeing any of that. Now they did a good job with it because they didn't actually show it. But I was just like, no, I'm good. You know?
Yeah, like, that's
I don't know why that shit bothers me so much.
No,
I mean, I kinda
get
do.
It.
I just
because animals yeah, are I, so pure. And it's okay. My kids are teenagers, so I don't want to say kids and people think I have like a 5 and 6 year old, but my kids are teenagers and we're watching Game of Thrones together for the first time because they were too young when it came out. We're now marathoning it together. And recently we got to the Red Wedding episode. And so you watch, spoilers for anybody that hasn't seen Game of Thrones, you watch Rob's wife die, you watch Rob die, you watch his mother die, and that's all bad. But then when they go and kill his dire wolf, that just hits different. That one just hits different. And then they, you know, its head is on the stick, and that's even my kids, they were like that.
Yeah, no,
that's the one that for some reason it's just the final nail in the coffin for you.
Yeah. Have you seen that meme of Robert Downey Jr. where he's like holding his chest?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he looks like, oh God. My favorite one is, oh, when you thought you hit an animal but you realize it was a human.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, yeah. That's sound that way, but I just, you know, not that I want to I'm not actively looking to hit a human. But I can tell you that that animals have never treated me as shitty as some humans have.
Exactly.
So that's probably why I'm like, meh.
Protect the innocent babies. Like, yes.
Yeah, we'll make it. Okay, so back to what we were so good at jumping off the track. The true story begins with the first film, which focuses on the Perrin family.
Okay.
I'll tell you a little bit about the Perrin family. In January of 1971, the Perrin family moved into a 14-room farmhouse in Harrisville, Rhode Island. 14 fucking rooms?
Wow. That's a big farmhouse. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. Wow. I just had to wrap my head around that because it's enough cleaning a 3-bedroom house.
Yeah.
14 rooms. I'm like, Jesus.
I wonder if they're like small boxy rooms. Because, you know, a lot of the older farmhouses, it's a lot of small boxy rooms. I don't know. It's still big. Even if they're closets, it's a lot.
Yeah, 14 rooms. I mean, what the hell? Did they not know about contraception?
No.
Like,
they were probably a good old Catholic family that believes.
Woo!
That was my grandma. If God wants
having
you to have
them,
babies. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
No,
I mean,
fuck
some
no.
of these women spent their entire lives pregnant.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Just always pregnant.
Because, that's what they thought God wanted was for them to have a million babies.
I don't understand having a baseball team. I just don't. Why the fuck would you do that? Okay.
Listen,
anyway.
I was pregnant twice, and I was good after that. I was like, okay, we've done this. I don't want to play anymore.
I'm surprised you got past one, because I know you. And the first time you did it, you're like, oh no, like that was enough shit. That was enough. Not saying I'm not happy you didn't do it twice, because both of your girls are amazing. I love
them so
much.
Well, let me tell you, my first labor, we're getting off topic again here, but because we brought this up, my epidural worked so good on my first baby that I didn't feel shit. That was just
perfect.
On my second one, my epidural did not work. It went up instead of down, so I felt everything that was happening. If that would have been my first delivery, I would not have had a second child.
That's why two was the end for you.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck that.
Can you imagine all of those women before epidurals, like, just did those babies naturally?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And I read articles, like, I'm looking at articles and stuff where people are like, I'm going to have the most beautiful, I'm going to lean into the mic here, I'm going to have the most beautiful experience at home. My husband is going to be holding my hand. My children are going to be staring at my vagina.
Yeah.
I'm going to push this baby out. It's going to be a beautiful experience. I'm not going to take any drugs. And then you see the pictures and they're like, like they are possessed.
Yes. What's actually going to happen is you're going to rip from hole to hole and you're going to shit on a table in front of a whole bunch of people. What's going to happen. Let's be real about this.
Oh, man, that sounds like prom 1987. Just jumped up shit right in the middle of the table. I was out. Flipped everybody off. I'm like, I'm out. Oh, my God. That's insane. And trust me, ladies, I am not mocking you for wanting to do a natural birth. And I know that there are people out there who have had natural births and it was a wonderful experience. And you guys kicked the shit out of it. Because if there's one thing I do know in this life is that women rule. We are fucking rock stars and we can do anything. Yeah. So I am not making fun of you. But when I see that, I'm like, what the hell? Like, if you can, it's like kind of like having a bad headache. There's Excedrin. Yeah. Take it.
There's a reason we have the drugs.
Yeah.
Just do it. Like, just do it.
Just take advantage of the shit that they're offering you.
Yeah.
I don't really have a horse in this race because I have never pushed anything out of my vagina. I literally put a sign up that said, no fucking vacancy. No.
There's a sign hanging in your uterus.
Yeah, it's just hanging up.
Getting it in there was a bitch.
When we got married. Yeah, it's like, listen, nothing. Stuff is going in. Shit is not coming out. That was the deal. Them's the rules. All right. Anyway, gosh. Okay, so we're back to the 14 room farmhouse after this whole vagina escapade. This is the vagina episode. I think it's come up like four times. Yes. I'm just angry at my vagina right now. I'm so fucking mad at it. Another fun thing that happens in menopause is that it just dries up like a fucking dead pond. It's a swamp. It's a dead swamp. With roots.
Where your sex drive goes to die.
Yeah, your sex drive is non-existent. You're like, what's penis? I don't know what penis is.
You're handing your husband a bottle of lotion and a dirty magazine and being like, there you go,
yeah,
babe.
Yeah, like, you know, we got a fucking shower.
That seems more of a your problem than my problem. I'm good. That's yeah, you to yeah. him. Yeah. To him. Yeah, that's your
right.
problem.
Oh, yeah. I know you weren't done. Yeah. It's like, thanks, Stacey. Shit. Oh, God.
Wow. Rub it in.
Rub it in, bitch.
No, that was you to your husband. It's his problem. To
yeah, right. Just smack my titties around a little bit. And just go into the bathroom.
There you go. You're like,
does
don't.
It sound like.
just don't wake me up ahead of time. Or...
Don't wake me up. Listen, I got to get up early. Fuck. God. Oh, gotta write about coasters and shit.
Gotta get up early and write about coasters.
Gotta write about them coasters. All right, so I don't even know where the hell we were at. All right, so,
14-room farmhouse.
So they move. Yeah, they move into this ridiculous farmhouse, okay, in Rhode Island, where Carolyn, Roger, and their five daughters begin to notice strange things happening almost immediately after they move in.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my thing. You move in, shit starts happening. I mean, the contract's fresh, right? Yeah. Like, you could probably, like, get a lawyer and get out of that shit. Like,
the ink isn't dry yet. I think now there is.
The ink is not dry.
I think now there actually is a clause, and I don't think there was before. I'm going to say that it happened because shit was haunted, but I think there is a clause now that you have, like...
Because shit... Is that the way it's actually listed in the contract? Shit was fucking haunted.
Shit be haunted.
Shit be haunted.
Ghosts be tripping.
I get to move out. Ghosts be tripping, doing crazy shit. Oh, my God. All right, so it started small, as it always does. Mm-hmm. Carolyn would notice that the broom would go missing, or it seemed like it moved from place to place on its own in the house.
Okay.
She would hear the sound of something scraping against the kettle in the kitchen with no one was in there. Like, I guess fingernails on metal.
Oh, I don't like that.
I don't like that at all. She'd find small piles of dirt in the center of a newly cleaned floor. Now listen.
That's some shit.
That's some shit. Like, you got a petty fucking ghost in your house.
Yeah.
If they're putting piles of dirt.
And hiding your broom.
Yeah. Hiding your broom, putting piles of dirt. I'm like, that's a woman.
Oh, for sure.
That is
a
chick.
Petty bitch right there.
That is a petty bitch that wants you out of her house. Yeah, so the girls, the five daughters, start to begin, they began noticing spirits around the house. Though, for the most part, it was harmless. Like, nobody was getting hurt. It seemed like little trickster shit.
Okay.
Yeah, there were a few, however, that started to get angry. So, Carolyn allegedly researched the history of the home, which is never a good idea.
No, don't do
okay?
that.
Okay, like, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're having trouble... It, you know, like in your house, it's probably not good to dive into it and try to dig up some creepy shit, because it's only going to make things 1,000 times worse. But she did it.
Well, and another thing is, if you look hard enough, you can find shit on pretty much any location.
Yeah. People have died everywhere. I'm sorry to say.
That's true. That's true.
Like, there is not an inch of ground that some biped hasn't bit it
at some point in history.
At this point.
Yeah.
It has happened someplace. It has. So she discovered that this home had been in the same family for 8 generations.
Wow. Shit went down there for sure.
Yeah. And that many of them, here's the kicker, had died under mysterious or horrible circumstances.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
So here's the sad part. Yeah, several of the children had drowned in the nearby creek. One was murdered, you know, and a few of the family members had hanged themselves in the fucking house in the attic.
Oh, that house is haunted. Like, we're not a little bit haunted. This house is big time haunted. Also, if you have repeated children in your family that are drowning in that same pond, fucking fill that pond in. Like, put up a fence, do something.
I mean, maybe a bitch was tired. Like, she needed to thin the herd.
Yeah, that was a lot of them.
I don't know. But, yeah, bad shit. Bad shit was going on in this house.
There's some bad juju in that house.
Yes. So the spirit that was depicted in the film, which you haven't experienced yet, and is going to scare the ever-living shit out of you, was named Bathsheba.
Okay.
And it was the worst spirit of them all. Andrea Perrin, who was the oldest of the five girls, did an interview about the shit, and she said whoever the spirit was, she perceived herself to be the mistress of the house, and she resented the competition my mother posed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she was the petty bitch.
She was the petty bitch. Yeah. But not only petty, because come to find out, there actually was a real person named Bathsheba Sherman who lived on the parents' property in the mid-1800s. She was rumored to have been a Satanist because, you know, anybody who does any shit is a Satanist,
right? Yeah, they must be a Satanist.
Or maybe bitch just didn't want to date any guys and all of a sudden she's a Satanist or a witch. I don't know. Yeah. And there was evidence, but here's the fucked up shit. There was evidence that she was involved in the death of a neighbor's child, although there was no trial ever took place. So what I'm guessing is that they thought she did it, but they couldn't prove it.
Yeah.
So she was buried.
But you know she became like an outcast in town after that. And people were nasty.
She probably was the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she probably was strange to begin with and it just got worse. So I don't know if I necessarily think that she did it, because obviously we got a creek that's got some serious fucking hatred toward kids.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know what the hell that creek's problem is, but it doesn't like children. Bathsheba is actually buried in a nearby Baptist cemetery in downtown Harrisville. So her stone is actually there. I mean, it's a real person. And the parents believe that it was Bathsheba who was tormenting them in the house.
Okay.
Yeah. So according to Andrea, the oldest child, the family experienced other spirits as well that smelled like rotting flesh, which is just great. Yeah. And would cause beds to rise off the floor, which is always normal. Yeah. She claims her father would enter the basement and feel a cold, stinking, that was the word she used, presence behind him.
That gave me chills.
Right? And they often stayed away from the dirt-floored cellar. They had a cellar with a fucking dirt floor.
Oh, there was shit buried in there. There was shit buried
there. Oh, you know there was?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those kids probably just got buried down there.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But the heating equipment would often mysteriously fail in the house, causing Roger to have to go down there and deal with that shit. So
where there's a stinking ghost behind him.
Yeah, stinking. Yeah, that was the word she used. Just stinking it up. Yeah.
I'd be like, house is going to be cold, kids. Don't know what to tell you.
I know, right? It's like, it's going to be cold. We're not going down there. Did you see that fucking dirt floor? It's bullshit.
Put on more layers.
I know. Just layer it up. Everybody gets an extra blanket. Here, drink some whiskey. Like, you're 3 years old. Stop fucking whining. Drink this whiskey.
Oh, my God. That makes me think of the time era when, like, doing cocaine was considered medicinal. It's fine. We'll just do some cocaine and go to sleep.
Then they have, wasn't that what Coke had in it?
Like, yeah.
The original cocaine.
Yeah. Have you seen that meme where it was like, if you're going to give us new Coca-Cola flavors, just put the cocaine back in it.
Put the Coke back in it. Oh, my God. Ugh. Can you imagine? I mean, they're just running around doing coke and shit. I think the funniest, we're back to vaginas because this is going to like go back to vagina. There was, women used to go to the doctor because they would call it, they had hysteria.
Yeah.
Okay. They'd say they were hysterical. So they would go to the doctor and the doctor would use this vibrating tool, aka a vibrating dildo, on their nether region. And that would quote unquote calm them down. It would fix the hysteria. And these bitches kept having to go back to see this doctor because they were hysterical.
Oh, their husbands are like, damn, Sally, that's the third time this week.
I'm hysterical! I'm losing my shit. Take me to the doctor.
She's taking her panties.
It's hysteria.
She's taking her panties off in the lobby. We'll just speed this right the fuck up.
I'm going in. Oh my God. Oh.
We'll speed this right up for you, Doc.
I know, right? I mean, it was a different time.
It was a different time.
A different time. We'll call it that. Okay, so over the 10 years that the family lived in the house, the Warrens made multiple trips to investigate. At one point, Lorraine conducted a seance to attempt to contact the spirits that were possessing the family. And during the seance, Carolyn Perrin became possessed, speaking in tongues and rising off the ground in her chair. that was thrown across the room and into the wall.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The movie version depicts Ed and Lorraine performing an exorcism, but Lorraine insists they didn't start, or they never did any exorcisms because the only people who could do that were Catholic priests.
Okay.
So, and Ed and Lorraine were devout Catholics, okay, by the way.
So, just to, like, put this into perspective, they would, these demonologists would go into the house and they'd, like, basically poke the paranormal bear in your house to rile shit up. And then once chairs were floating and kids were thrown across the room, then they would go, yeah, you got a ghost. You should get somebody out here. And then they'd split. Shit going on.
This bitch is in menopause and there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I kind of feel like they would go there, they would stir up some shit, they'd say, yeah, this is fucked. here's your paper that says you're fucked. And they'd walk.
Yeah.
They'd be like, okay, thanks. Like, we just wanted to check it out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You definitely got a ghost. Good luck with that.
Right? Well, after that seance, Roger, Carolyn's husband, kicked the Warrens out and said, fuck this. Like, he was worried about his wife's mental stability at that point.
Because there kept being these dirt piles on her fucking floor.
I know. The family, after that, the family continued to live in the house due to financial instability, which is exactly what I was talking about, until they were able to move out in 1980, at which point the spirits were silenced and the haunting ceased.
Really? So the ghosts just didn't like them.
Yeah.
The next people that moved in, they're like, no, you're cool.
But I know you I mean, you're a huge fan of paranormal shit like I am.
Yeah.
I know you've read about this stuff before, but I really honestly believe that it was attached to the family.
Probably, yeah.
Specifically to the mother. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that, I mean, if she had any mental instability at all, I'm sure it didn't help, you know, like when that shit started happening.
Yeah.
So it makes me feel bad for her because it seems like she's the one that dealt with the brunt of it. And the fact that they all saw her lift off the ground in this chair and get thrown across the room, there's no way you can physically do that.
Yeah. Like, that's not fake.
There are a lot of things that you can fake, you know, and like, you know, and there's mass hysteria that happens too.
Yeah.
I know that that's a phenomenon. But yeah, actually physically seeing something like that, I mean, you have to know that there was seriously some shit going on. So I feel really bad for her in particular. And I feel bad for the family that they had to live there for years after that, like probably dealing with this crazy shit because they weren't able to move out. And it makes me wonder, I haven't been able to find anything on it, but I'm wondering if Ed and Lorraine got paid by them at all.
Oh, that's...
And that would really upset me if they had given them money to help them and then they weren't able to move out of the house.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But Corey and Jennifer Heinzen, I hope I'm saying that correctly, bought the home in 2019 for $439,000. And 2 years later, they put it up for sale for $1.2 million.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And it sold, get this shit, it sold for $1.5 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was driven, the price was driven up. And it's now used as an overnight paranormal investigation house. So you can actually stay there and you can do investigations in the house to this day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like a creepy bed and breakfast.
Right, right. And honestly, I mean, if I'm going to go to a bed and breakfast, I really just want like a bunch of fucking cats and somebody playing an old ass piano. And I want my muffin in the morning. Give me my fucking muffin. That's all I want. I want it to be cute and probably kind of obnoxious. I do not want to wake up with somebody standing at the foot of my bed pissed off about their dried up vagina. I don't want that. I don't want it.
Hey, listen, your husband has to deal with it every day.
I know, right? I'm like, listen, I know how bitchy I am at this point in my life. I can't imagine being a spirit.
Do you just walk into the room and like yell that at him? My vagina's dry. God damn it. And then just turn around and walk out.
Does anybody have any lube? I need some lube that is not latex based.
Because I have an allergy.
Because I have an allergy to latex, bitches. Oh my God.
We've talked about vagina so much.
I know. I love it. I love it. Okay. So the second haunting, and this one's pretty quick, that the movies were based on, the Conjuring movies, was 6 years after the Perrin family was terrorized by their demon, another family, this one in Enfield, England, began experiencing similar things.
Okay.
So in August 1977, the Hodgson, H-O-D-G-S-O-N family, I don't want to say it incorrectly, started seeing and hearing strange things. Janet, who was 11 at the time, recalled sitting up in her bed to see her dresser slide across the floor that she shared with her brother.
That's right about the moment I nope the hell out.
Yeah, I mean, you're out, right?
I'm gonna go.
Later, the family began hearing knocking coming from all sorts of places in the house. Like, on the outside of the house, like it was wanting to come in.
That was a scene from, oh my God. Oh my God, what is it? It was a Netflix show. There's two seasons. They're at different houses. The Haunting of Blythe Manor, I think, was the first one.
Oh, was...
And the two sisters, one of them owned a funeral home. And they were inside talking, and there was knocking coming from, like, all the doors and windows outside. Do you remember that?
Yeah, scene? I don't need any. I don't want to be a part of that.
No.
I don't. No.
I don't put me down for that. I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't want any of that shit. None of it. Even though I can tell you, and I think, I don't know if I, did I send you the video of my ring? Like with the voice?
Did. Yes.
The detached voice on it? That was so fucking crazy. Yeah, it was like the mail lady came up, dropped off her shit, walked off my porch, like totally saw her do it. And after that, I heard, hello? Yeah.
No.
Like straight up, nobody was standing there. There was nothing going on, and it wasn't even, like, it didn't even sound normal. It sounded like it was vibrating. Like it was like a vibrato. And Vaughn said, my partner in life, he's amazing, he said that it might have been her, like, saying hello to our neighbor.
Oh.
And the ring picked it up, and that's why it sounded so weird. But, man, there was nothing stranger than that. Like, it was so weird. Because it went off on my Apple Watch, and then I watched it on my phone, like, live. Oh. So it happened live, and I was like, mm-mm.
What the fuck
no,
is that?
That's okay. You're not, I'm not home, bitch.
Not today, not Satan.
I'm not answered. Oh, my God. So, anyway, okay, so back to the Hodgson family. I'm so sorry, I'm murdering your name. Later, the family began hearing the knocking. And she remembers her mom thinking there were burglars or drifters, called them drifters, hiding out in their home. They called the police, and the police investigated. The officer who arrived reported witnessing a chair rise up and move across the floor on its own.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's always good, right? And reporters from the Daily Mirror experienced the exact same thing. So when the reporters came there, they actually saw the chair lift up and move too. And I know that there have been instances in houses where you would put something down. In fact, it happened in Poltergeist. You remember that shit? She would put it in the middle of the room, and she'd be like, in the beginning when it was still like, you know, all the crazy shit hadn't happened and the demons weren't like stealing their kids and shit.
Yeah.
But they thought it was neat and funny. Like she would put the chair in the middle of the kitchen and they'd be like, watch this. And it would slide across the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like it would just go on its own.
It's a parlor trick.
And they thought it was so funny. Yeah.
No.
So that shit was happening. We all know you end up in a puddle with a bunch of skeletons.
Did you know those were real skeletons?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, those were real corpses. And they didn't tell the actress about it at the time either.
No. And that's why she looked so fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. But, she's like, that is too moist and juicy to be fake.
That's too moist. Oh, that's gross. Like, you are too moist.
That
is
too moist.
A moist skeleton.
Why is it juicy?
You are so moist. Oh my god, juicy. You are using adjectives that are really fucking weird right now. Oh my god.
Stop using those okay. for dead people.
Okay, the other things that were happening in this fucking house, Legos and marbles would fly around the room. And as soon as you would pick them up, they would burn your hand.
As if Legos aren't yeah, bad enough hot. On their own to step on a right? hot fucking Lego.
Yeah. So now it's hot. So it's just insult to injury, right? I mean, that's some bullshit. Yeah. So clothing that was folded on tabletops would fly off on their own. They'd fly across the room. Just
these ghosts are just sound... so mean. They just don't let you have a clean house. Know.
No, they're just pissed off about something, which doesn't really give me a lot of hope for the hereafter.
No.
It's like, if you're that fucking mad about it, it's like, what the hell is going on?
I'm fucking up your laundry for all eternity.
What? Can you imagine, like, you die and you're haunting a place and that's what you're going to do? Like, you're pissed about the laundry?
Yeah. Maybe they didn't like their fashion choices and they were like trying to flick it towards the fireplace and just burn that shit.
I'm going to burn this shit. You are not wearing plaid another day, bitch.
This looks highly flammable. I think if I could just get right? it close enough, this bitch will go up like a
match.
Oh
my God. Okay, so this clothing, they're fucking up the clothing. This is the one that really bothered me. The sound of dogs barking could be heard in empty rooms.
Aw, there's ghost puppies.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking hellhounds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Yeah. Lights would flicker. Which
my dumb ass would be running towards the puppies. Where'd the puppies at?
Right? I'm gonna pet the puppy. I'm going in. Oh, my God. Yeah, me too. That would be... totally. That would be my downfall.
Yeah.
Lights were flickering. Oh, and here's a really awesome one. Coins would drop out of thin air.
Okay, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, and they would spin, and they would tip over without being touched.
Oh.
Yeah, the whole coin thing is really weird. Like, I've been thinking about that for a while, and I'm like, what the fuck was up with the coins? Like, I really want to know, were you a banker?
Where were the coins coming from?
Were you a pirate?
Where were you getting them?
Right. And then one day, the iron fireplace in the upstairs bedroom was ripped right out of the fucking wall.
Oh, shit. Oh. That escalated
so you got
quickly.
Some Herculean shit. Yeah, it went from like a 0 to 100. I'm like, coins are dropping. You know, they're flipping laundry. There's a chair, you know, scooting around. Rip the fireplace out of the wall. Like, that's the next. Yeah. So.
That escalated very quickly.
I know. I'm like, holy shit. So after that, paranormal investigators from around the world started showing up, claiming to be able to contact spirits and wanting to know more about the Enfield haunting. Most of them decided the children had been faking their experiences, as one of them had admitted to doing so on occasion. But the Warrens thought differently. They showed up and immediately believed that a demonic presence was there.
Of course. The fireplace got ripped out of the fucking wall.
Right. I mean, however, their claims were overlooked, with skeptics claiming that Ed was exaggerating and even making up some of the incidents in the house. And this is where the story differs from the movie.
Okay.
As there were no exorcism-like practice from the Warrens. Because in the movie, they do an exorcism.
Okay.
And that never happened. And it kind of is confusing because Lorraine kept saying she didn't allow them to take any liberties. And yet they kept acting like Ed and Lorraine were doing these exorcisms. Yeah. So kind of, that's curious to me. Like, did they tell her they weren't going to do that and then put it in?
Or maybe you they know? Were like,
it was just kind of strange.
The movie needs to have an ending and you guys didn't actually do anything to help them. So we need to, we need to put it in there.
It's like, we have to do something. Yeah. So in 1979, 2 years after they began, the haunting abruptly stopped.
Okay.
Though the family maintains they did nothing to stop it.
Huh.
Yeah. Very, very odd. So
that's interesting.
I know. And that the story of The Conjuring.
Awesome. Well, we've gone on for an hour here, and I know we have a lot more to this. So how about if we make this the end of part one?
Ooh, yeah. We'll do a double feature.
And we'll go on to part two, which for us will be right now. For everybody else, they have to listen to the next episode.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we will do, that was part one.
Okay.
And we'll do a part two, and we'll really dig into Ed and Lorraine Warren so we can find out some more juicy stuff about them.
Yeah. So you all need to tune in for our next episode.
Yes. And until then.
I can't remember how we end this.
Keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky. That's it.
Yes. Keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky.